Hi, welcome back after the break. We're here talking about transforming your SharePoint customizations to the SharePoint app model. I'm Steve Walker. This is Vesa Yuvonen. So this is actually a pretty packed module, and so we're just going to dive right into it. We'll try to answer your questions in the Q&A window as best we can as we're bouncing back and forth through at the end of the session. But we've got a whole lot of content to cover. So first, we're here to talk about controlling your branding in SharePoint using the app model. So a little bit about the module overview. We'll give you an introduction. We're going to talk heavily about themes. You may have heard a pattern emerging about themes being a preferred way to brand your SharePoint collaboration sites. We're going to talk a little bit about the Office 365 themes. You may not even know those exist. We're going to talk about alternate CSS usage. We're going to talk a little bit about branding and SharePoint publishing sites, because those are a little bit different when you're building portals. And then we're going to talk at the end about controlling and updating the branding after the fact with the app model. So first, before we jump into the meat, we've got our vision slide. So we firmly believe in extending Office anywhere, everywhere, wherever Office is. Your users are going to be using Office, and putting your application capability into Office is a very powerful productivity enhancer. We firmly believe in that. But we've also been investing heavily, as you've recently seen, in the Office 365 services. So using our services in Office 365 as API endpoints to interact with both from your apps, your line of business apps, your Windows client apps, your web apps, and then also building using an open platform. So using the tools that you want to use. I've seen a lot of folks using various different tools. We think Visual Studio is great, but there's a lot of different development tools that can be used, PHP.
For different platforms, right?
For different platforms, that's exactly right. So with that, each one of these modules, we like to start off with some recommendations so that you're aware of the high-level guidance that we're trying to give for this module. So number one recommendation here is avoid custom master pages. And you notice how we said avoid. We don't say don't do them. It really is a conversation where as we introduce new product capabilities in SharePoint and as we introduce new things in the service, once you've unghosted a master page, then you own that master page moving forward. And so if you want to take advantage of maybe a new capability that we've released, there's going to be maintenance that you need to do on those master pages on an ongoing basis. And that may work fine for a corporate intranet portal where you only have one portal. But when you have 10,000 team sites or 100,000 collaboration sites out there, you may want to think twice about that. So again, avoid them, not necessarily saying you can't use them.
And we're going to talk about the reasoning behind of that recommendation in practice within the upcoming slides.
Yep. And our next recommendation is use Office 365 themes if possible. So there is a suite level theme capability that is available, and so you should really look at that. And then also consider using alternate CSS. There's a ton of things that you can do with alternate CSS approaches and JavaScript injection and client-side programming, and CSS is really the rage nowadays anyway, so probably familiar to all you web devs that aren't SharePointy. And then themes as a viable option to control color and fonts. So themes, you'll see that over and over. One of the things that we have these conversations with customers, you know, obviously for a corporate branded, you know, intranet portal, maybe you have a look and feel that you totally need, and that's absolutely a valid scenario. But you don't brand Outlook, you don't brand Word. Why do you need to go branding your collaboration sites? It really is a good question. It's one that you should have with your business, because you're going to be paying a tax moving forward to keep that very strict branding in place for all those various sites that you have. If you look at the investments that we've made with Office 365 as a suite, and you see more and more that it's really a suite play. It's not that SharePoint's over here in a box and Exchange is over here in a box. Our suite nav lets your users jump easily between the different workloads. And it can be a jarring experience if they don't have a consistent branding between those. And so you want to think about that. Definitely think about that. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Vesa
Thank you.
Introduction to the
So let's start with an introduction. Let's start with the where are all of these recommendations actually coming, and then we deep dive on the individual, let's say, technologies or options, how we can do that using the app model. So moving on the thinking, really what we are saying, and this was one of the questions in the Q&A, we didn't have a time to answer all of them, but we're really saying that we're moving more and more from the feature framework to the app model techniques as well. And obviously one of the questions quite often is that, okay, you can easily provision new sites, how do I update the existing site or the existing sites or those sites which were already deployed? And we're going to show all of that during the day as well. But we're really kind of gradually, we are moving away from the feature framework and using alternative patterns, which we will give you additional guidance in MSDN during these videos and with all other capabilities, other ways as well. If you think about in higher level, if you think about the key points related on modifying the branding with SharePoint apps, there's kind of a two main things, or the main thing is actually remote provisioning. And remote provisioning is a technology or technique or approach where we modify sites and artifacts and branding and configurations using CSAM or REST APIs, or even JSON. CSAM usually refers to both CSAM and JSON. It's a matter of a terminology. But we don't actually use feature framework. What we do is that we use that client-side object model to operate and configure the site based on the business requirements. For example, if you wanted to still use a master page, you can absolutely upload a master page on the site using two lines of code, and then you apply that master page on the site, and you start using that. Like I said, we don't probably recommend you to use the master page, and I'm going to show you how and the reasoning behind that. The second kind of a dimension is also the JS injection. This is more about UX components, but the JavaScript injection is a absolutely valid pattern to modify or bring some of the user interface components or capabilities like custom header or footer or maybe a navigation even without actually the requirement of using a custom master page. Because as said, you will pay a tax if you start using a custom master page. And let's have a look on that and all of these approaches. So, how would I minimize the future maintenance? What would be the right approach in higher level? And as said, we're going to show you the reasoning for all of this. Use the themes rather than master pages. It's the number one recommendation. Maybe Office 365 themes, if those are good enough. Maybe it might be the composite themes within the individual sites. And we're absolutely committed on using that same theming technology in the future as well. Even though somebody might be now kind of smiling that, well, you probably said that when we introduced a new theming engine in 2010, and then in 2013 we actually changed that. Now this is absolutely understood, and the impact for the field is understood, and there's a commitment on supporting the theming engine in the future as well. About the feature framework usage, in many cases we can actually be more efficient without the feature framework. So we might actually end up having orphans, we might end up having challenges with the feature framework usage. And updating of the existing sites with the feature framework would require anybody writing code. Because that's what always happens. Okay, the initial deployment with the farm solutions and web templates and whatever, that's easy. Then the question is that I have 1,000 sites, how do I update this? How do I modify the new branding or whatever? And you would write code anyway. Maybe in a feature receiver upgrading event, maybe as a console application. But anyway, there's always a alternative options or additional job or tasks what you need to do. Moving on, as an example, this is a really good example of, if you think about a custom master page, good examples of a constant evolving capabilities is the evolving suit bar. So if we think about the suit bar, it's the top navigation, whatever we want to call that. If we think about that in an RTM level, that's how it actually looked in the RTM.
And this control is actually embedded into the master page.
That is right? Embedded in the master page. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. So, and it, in on-premises, especially this, it had the SharePoint on the left corner. It had the newsfeed, OneDrive, and sites and administration. Mm-hmm. So now, if we think about how it's evolving, one of the versions of the suit bar, it was looking like this, quite recently actually. It was looking like this. We had the person image there. We had some additional links, and there's the three dots, which were showing additional capabilities. Then on the Microsoft side, we realized that, well, quite often, quite fast, we will have quite a significant amount of other services there as well, because it's not just SharePoint. Office 365 is about Delve, it's about Yammer, it's about Outlook, there's other capabilities as well. So we can't just keep on adding those links because we will run out of space. So therefore, we introduced the new app catalog as a new option in the suite bar. And now, if you would have customized your custom master page, it slightly depends what would have been the impact of these three steps. If you wouldn't actually have done any overwriting of CSS, maybe this would actually work seamlessly because it is actually a one control. In the worst case scenario, you would have actually done a CSS level modifications, maybe even hidden that top level par. We've seen those custom master pages as well. And then the question would from end user would be that, okay, I would like to use Delve. I would like to use the video portal. I would like to use some additional capabilities. How would I get there? And then you have to do the updates on the existing sites. And what's really, really important to realize is that, like mentioned, this is not about SharePoint only. We need to remember that that same suite bar is available in Delve, it's available in Yammer, it's available across different capabilities, and it's kept in sync. So it's not just about branding the SharePoint, and therefore we should really think about the task, what we're actually having then if we start customizing SharePoint. The end user then moves to Delve and saying, well, this is not using the same branding as my SharePoint or sites section, why can't you brand this? And the reality will be that you can't. Well, you can apply Office 365 themes to Delve or Yammer, but you won't have the same flexibility with the custom master pages in those services in the future either.
That's right. And we have seen customers who get crafty and creative, and they try to do wonderful things like walk through the DOM and manipulate our artifacts. That's a risky proposition, let's just say, because as elements change, things happen in the future, those customizations can break, and then your users blame SharePoint. So we really want you to think twice about those types of approaches.
And we're going to cover some of these, let's say, recommendations during the UX module today as well, related, for example, the suite navigation bar, but definitely out of reach, or you shouldn't be using a clever techniques of modifying that, because we are evolving that all the time as well. Moving on things, so if we think about the custom master page, we kind of mentioned this quite a few times, but hopefully this slide will explain what this is all about with the right animation. So quite often when we think about how we create a custom master page, we take, for example, the Seattle.master or Oslo master, we copy that as a new copy. So let's think about as a Contoso. This is a Contoso called company. We create a custom master page based on the Seattle.master, and we rename that as Contoso.master, and we do some modifications on the master page. Then after a while, as part of the service releases, which we do now bi-weekly already, we're introducing new capabilities. Some of these capabilities might fall into the custom, might fall into the out-of-the-box master. So we're introducing new controls, new capabilities. So we will release actually a new version of the Seattle.master. It's a V2 of the Seattle.master. So there's some improvements. As an example, if you right now go and download the latest version of the Seattle.master, and you have a look on the control versions, they're actually 16. And I don't know if all of you actually knew that. But it's already indicating that it's the Seattle.master within the 16 version of the SharePoint, which is the next version of the SharePoint, not the 15 version of the SharePoint was 2013. Really, really good example. So now, after if we move into the versioning after a while, if we go to the final step again, we release a third version of the Seattle.master. At that point, there might be additional controls, might be additional shiny new things, might be additional capabilities for end user. Because you copied that Seattle.master a while back, you're not actually getting those. You might get some related on what kind of changes did you apply on the Contoso master, but you might not get all of them. And that means that then you need to start syncing with your Contoso master against those changes within the Seattle.master. So you need to make sure that, okay, what was actually added in the Seattle.master? Oh, I need to now go through all of my existing sites, and that could be a really, really time-consuming thing.
Yeah, and this may absolutely be a valid scenario for your corporate intranet portal. Yes. You may want to control that branding. You may not want that suite nav. You may want it to look exactly like your own bar because it you want it to just look like a website.
Sure.
And so those are absolutely valid and supported, but as Veza stated, you know, scanning through 10,000 or 100,000 team sites every time you want to gain the new updates that we've made to the master pages, that's just a tax you need to consider before you take that approach.
True. The key point, knowingly, make these decisions knowingly. Absolutely support it. Definitely support it. You can still do this, but then know, understand the impact of taking that path. That's the key thing. And maybe we've failed on actually showing that. Maybe we've failed on the messaging in MSDN to explain this possible impact. And that's the reason why there's so many questions related on, is the custom masturbation no longer supported? Absolutely supported in the future as well. Yep. You just need to understand the impact of the chosen path. Moving on things. So this is the classic that we're really getting a lot of questions related on this one. After the Tech Ed session we did with Steve, there was a lot of blog posts saying, you can't no longer brand Office 365. Well, actually you can. It's absolutely supported. Nothing has been changed. We're just being more open on showing you the impact and more open on maybe clarifying if you want to do this, what is actually, what could happen for you. So you unknowingly can make the decision to follow up on this path still. We would still recommend you to actually use alternative solutions like the theming and alternative CSS, which we're going to show today as well.
And these recommendations are coming, Vez and I are both on the CAT team, the customer advisory team. We're part of the engineering team, but we act as an escalation resource occasionally for big customers or for our services organization or our premier field organization when customers run into these types of problems. And so we see this. Maybe a customer has brought a partner in and they've done this extensive customization and then they left. And a year later, the partner's been gone for a long time. Some upgrade actions happen, and then the customer wasn't aware that they needed to go back and do rework. So we want you, if you're that partner, we want you having this conversation with your customer prior to delivering them that solution they want in Office 365.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on things. So one of the common questions, how should I get my files uploaded in the SharePoint sites using Sandbox solutions? We kind of mentioned this one already during the previous module, but we really, really recommend you to use the remote provisioning pattern. We're going to show this one in practice and during the demo within this module as well. So you do understand then what is actually the recommended approach in the future to take within your customizations. Moving on the questions, I have an intranet portal and I need to do a heavy branding on customizations. Absolutely fine, like mentioned. Definitely fine and will be supported in the future as well. You are willing to do this, just understand the impact. That's the key message. Mentioned quite a few times already in this module as well. Repeating. So let's actually move in the alternatives. So what does it actually mean? So what if I wouldn't be using custom master page? What would be my alternative then? And Steve is going to concentrate on showing you what that would mean in practice with themes.
Yeah. So thanks. So I actually have done a ton of really in-depth customization on SharePoint and .com facing sites. But for intranet sites, I've always tried to stick to more out-of-the-box kind of flavors. We're going to go and we're going to talk a little bit about themes. That's definitely the way that we would like to promote for folks to do their branding for their, I would say, their commodity sites, the sites that you have lots of within your organization. So let's cut to the slides and we'll talk a little bit about themes. So really this is about color and fonts. So what are they? So this provides user branding elements without introducing a master page or page layout elements. So we have a very restricted way to apply just colors and fonts and those types of even background images and things like that on a site without having to resort to custom master pages and page layouts. The great thing is you continue to use the out-of-the-box master pages. You haven't unghosted anything, but you can introduce customer-specific branding elements. And then how would you do this? You would actually use the theming engine for introducing the color, the fonts, and the background images for the sites. I don't know if very many people know about this, but there is a SharePoint color palette tool. We have a version 1 out there. It's a free downloadable tool. You can create custom themes based on branding requirements. This is on the Microsoft download site. I thought we had the link in the thing, but we'll get that later.
Well, if you use the title of the tool.
Yeah, if you just type in the title of the tool in Microsoft download search, you'll find it. But it's really a great way to be able to compose one of these themes and get it ready to deploy.
Yep.
So again, just to reinforce, use themes rather than custom master pages. They're more future friendly. Why? And we're going to contrast a couple of things here. So on the theme side, You can define colors, fonts, background image settings. Sites with themes will still use all the out-of-the-box master pages, so any updates that we potentially do there or fixes that we do there would automatically accrue. And then future major version upgrades don't cost a ton of additional rework and a ton of additional cost. Those themes are very lightweight. They're very easy to build. So you haven't paid two designers for 3 months to get that thing exactly pixel for pixel perfect. You're pretty much just sticking to the look and feel that SharePoint has.
Sure.
If you're looking at a custom master page, you can introduce any level of customization that you want. You can go deep. You can take things off the pages. You can put things onto the pages that didn't exist. But when new changes are introduced, you're going to have to basically diff your master pages. Think about what the customization, what the things that we've added or changed are. Can I just put that in my master page? Maybe it's a small change. Maybe it's not. But it's definitely a tax that you're going to pay as you're moving forward. And then future major version upgrades are going to be a lot more expensive, basically.
Sure.
So even if we, you know, like we did from 2010 to 2013, people had to go rework all of their master pages, even in our Office 365 service.
And that's a really good example, the upgrading from 2010 to 2013, because quite often the maturity had problems on the branding, on the master page, actually. Mm-hmm. Because if we would have done and used the Seattle.master or out-of-the-box master page, the in-place, the self-service upgrade of the site collection, that would have worked perfectly. If you, however, used a custom master page to do that in the 2010, and you went through and did a site collection, self-service site collection upgrade to 2013, you might have actually run into major issues, which might have actually freaked out the end users. So definitely one of the classic things in which we get a lot of feedback, or we got a lot of feedback related on the upgrade.
Yeah, we're pretty much through that, thankfully. But yeah, we did get a ton of that feedback. So let's look a little bit about what handling themes from SharePoint apps are. So obviously you can go into a site, you can apply a theme through the UI, but how would we do that with a SharePoint app? Back to what we were talking about before, pretty much every one of these capabilities and things that we're talking about, we're going to expect that you're using some sort of a provider-hosted app or a provisioning application. We call it remote provisioning. When we talk about that, in our diagrams, we say it's a provider-hosted app. You may be unknowingly doing remote provisioning today, even in SharePoint, by you have an admin who gets a request to actually create a SharePoint site, and then after that request is made, they go apply a web template or they upload a sandbox solution, and it's all manual. I would call that the mechanical Turk of the remote provisioning pattern. That would totally still be valid. You could still run PowerShell, you could still run CSOM, you could still activate apps on those sites. And so when you see us say remote provisioning, we may not necessarily be meaning that you have to go write a bunch of code and have this automated process. If you're using a manual process today, that could be your remote provisioning pattern. So I just wanted to make sure that we covered that. We have some provider-hosted application. So if somebody's going to go create a site, we actually have some theme elements, the color file, the font file, the background image, potentially even a master page if you're doing that. But again, see the previous guidance. Those things are actually applied. So we use the client-side object model to upload the files to the site. And then we use the client-side object model to actually set the theme to the site. And then if I wanted to set a master page, I could absolutely do that as well. So that's the high-level view. So now we're actually going to cut over into a demo. You'll notice on my demo slide that there's a link at the bottom of the demo slide. Every one of our demos has a link. All of these demos are actually available in the Patterns and Practices guidance on GitHub. So it's a great resource if you haven't checked it out. I am actually going to come over here and go to Visual Studio, and I have branding.themes. So I've done nothing more than pull this down from the Patterns and Practices GitHub site. Again, it's a really, really great great resource. I'm going to walk through the sample and show you guys what this actually does, and then we will go through and we will look at some of the code for the major points. So I just hit F5 in Visual Studio. It's actually uploading the app into my site. I've done nothing more again than pull this down from GitHub and set my site URL. Now you'll notice that I am, Control 1 doesn't work. Okay. So set theme to host in the site. Every one of these samples is actually very easy to follow. You can see, and I'll set my zoom in a minute. I'm basically going to choose a theme to my host web. So right now my host web actually has a blue theme. I'm going to set that to orange. And so when I say run the scenario, sorry guys. Haven't seen that one before. All right, well, I'll debug that in the break, but let's look at the actual code. It's not very difficult to see what we're doing. My provider-hosted application has a default.aspx. When I go into my default.aspx, you can see when I'm doing scenario one, I basically have a method here. We are using in Patterns and Practices some web extensions and site extensions, so we use those quite heavily. Those are for taking code that maybe are 3 or 4 lines or 20 lines or 200 lines in some examples and breaking those down to nice little extension methods that you can use. So you can see we've created one here called set theme to web. So basically if I drive through that, okay. I'll zoom in a little bit so you can see better. If I do my set theme to web, you can see it's just coming through. It's checking to make sure that my theme name isn't empty. And then it says set composed look by URL, right? And you can see here that basically we're just setting up the theme and then applying it, the properties to the theme, and then we're applying it to the actual site. And then if we've uploaded a master page, we'll set the master URL to that as well. So all this code's available. You can actually go check that out. It's really super easy. You can see in 4 lines of code here, basically I've been able to set a theme and
And if nothing else, we're going to go and check it out, what's issue within that demo. And luckily, it's in the GitHub. So essentially, yeah, we'll just push the update on the demo or the sample itself immediately when it's actually fixed. So
that's right. All right. And actually, with that, we'll cut over and you can do Office 365 themes.
So yes, so let's move on the theming side. So definitely the default theming and the composite looks and look and feel is supported in on-premises, that's supported in Office 365. That's the theming engine where you apply the theming within the site level. One of the new things what we came up with or released this autumn was the Office 365 themes. And the kind of the key point of the key difference of this one is that we're able to actually control the branding across the service. So it's not just about controlling branding in an individual SharePoint site, rather controlling the branding across the service suite, meaning the Yammer, meaning the Delve, the video portal, and all of that functionalities. So what does it actually mean? We can easily have a one location within our Office 365 admin UI where we're able to set all of the, well, some of the branding elements. This is not a really as flexible as the theming engine within the SharePoint sites, but this is already giving some level of a branding elements like the suite navigation coloring, there's some of the key colors within the sites. And then that will be applied across the SharePoint, across the Exchange services, across the Delve, across the Yammer. So it's really, you can bring some of the branding, required branding elements to your sites. And this one is essentially a setting within the Office 365 admin UI. It's quite well hidden actually right now, so that's the reason why we're going to do quite a 2-minute demo. I'm going to show where it is located, because right now it might be that you haven't even noticed that it is available. In this particular case, I've set a demo theme, which is quite hectic, the colors are and the images. But you can see that we can set the custom logo in the middle of the suite bar. We're able to set the background image on the suite bar. We're able to also control the colors and the colors of the fonts and so on within the settings. And this will be then applied across all of the services within the Office 365. And let's have a quick look on this one. So this is without any code. So I'm going to switch the browser So I'm going to just quickly open up my dev site, one of the dev sites, what I have within my tenant. And how can we find that setting within the Office 365? We have to go to the admin UI. If you have the app suite, app catalog already, not the app catalog, suite, app, what is this functionality? Help me, Steve. I never remember what is the top level, the new picking of functionality.
Oh, the
right terminology.
The app launcher.
App launcher.
The app
Thank
launcher.
You. There
yes.
we go. Thank
Sorry.
You. I just can't get that on my mind. So if you have the app launcher available within your Office 365 tenant, it will be looking like this one. So you go to the admin UI, clicking this admin link within the app launcher. It might be that you're still using an old version of the suite navigation. It will be then in a drop down on the right side, and you go to the admin UI. Still, anyway, you go to the admin UI, and in here we have all of the controlling of the Office 365 services and all of that. And it's quite well hidden because the theming can be controlled actually from the top right corner where we have the company name. So I'm going to zoom in, and there's a one small link which is saying Contoso, because in my case, I'm using just imaginary Contoso company. So on the top right corner, I'm clicking the Contoso, and I will then see actually my personal Contoso company address information, all of the other information and what we have. And then I can actually click custom theming. And in here, we're able to then see what is the theme, what I right now have applied across my Office 365 service. And from here, we can then easily start modifying the theme. So I can set some of the settings, for example, yellow, or let's do the purple is fine. Now background color, let's put that one in gray. And text and font, let's put that one actually in dark. And do then save. And that will be then applied across the Office 365 suite services. Not that nice looking branding, but a good example. What I can do also is that I can upload a custom logo, or I can upload a custom background image on the suite bar itself, so it will be then reflected across all of the services. And the key point here is that now if I go, for example, if I go to Delve, we will see that branding and the theming then be applied in the Delve as well. So because we need to remember that Office 365 especially, it's not just about SharePoint or sites, how we want to go in. And now you can actually see that I have the same branding, top bar branding within my Delve, which I just set within the Office 365 theming. Kind of makes sense. Moving back on the slides, so that was a really quick intro related on Office 365 theming. And hopefully you're able to find that setting. And I said actually when we started the module, this is really the recommended way of doing, because this means that you don't have to customize. You have the settings, you go to one location, you set your company colors and set some of that stuff. And maybe that's suitable. Maybe in some cases it's not enough. Maybe they want to have a significant additional customizations here and there. Then you need to think about alternative routes. But definitely the step number one is the Office 365 theming, then think about alternative options. One of the alternative options is also the alternative CSS. So this is a detailed styling within the SharePoint sites using alternative CSS option, which is exposed in the client-side object model. And this is actually giving us even slightly more, let's say, capabilities than typical theming, typical SharePoint theming. Because we can actually override any of the out-of-the-box CSS stylings if needed, based on our whatever business requirements. In some level, obviously, we need to be careful that we don't run into that same scenario like upgrading from 2010 to 2013, and there was a significant CSS style change between the major versions. But this is a really, really, really great capability to adjust certain settings within the site, maybe even align the site in the middle without, again, deploying a custom master page. The advantage is that we're able to then, in one CSS styling, we're able to modify the individual elements, individual location. We are able to hide even some of the controls within the site, which is really, really, let's say, a really great capability to have. And this is one of those things which we actually collected feedback from the field. People were saying that, well, we need to have this property available within the CSM that wasn't there when we went live within an RTM as part of the April CU release for the on-premises. And I think it was in March release for the cloud CSM. we added this capability exposed in the client-side object model, and now you're able to remotely control the client or the CSS settings using this property. What would it mean in practice? Pretty similar case and pretty similar, let's say, chart or drawing or graphics, like with the theming. We have the SharePoint side, we have the SharePoint service or SharePoint farm running. We have a provider-hosted application. It might be remote console application, it might be a remote timer job, it might be the application which was responsible of provisioning your site collections. But that's the one which actually has the assets, which is then uploading the needed CSS to the site and setting the needed properties to the site to actually make it happen. If you're running an older version than the April CU or not running the Office 365, you prefer to use a JavaScript injection to make this happen. But now with the latest versions, this is really, really easily doable with the one single property set there within the web object. So really, really nice add-on on our options, what to do. Let's have a real demo on this one so you actually understand what it is. This is in the GitHub as well, like all of our samples, and there's the link in the underneath the slide. So whenever you download the slide or have a video, you can actually check the location of the demo where you can then download that and press F5 and start testing that one. And let's move on to Visual Studio. So this is just pulled from the PNP. The only thing what I've sent is that I've set the property on the app project itself. So that's the app project. And then we have a property hosted project in here. A lot of these examples in the patterns and practices guidance are built like this. So we actually want to show you the capability. They're not production ready, but they show you how to do certain functionality. So you're able to adapt that and really learn how it's done and then start using that within your customization. So we want to keep the things simple. There's some complex stuff there as well, but many of the things are there to show the capability, show the pattern itself. I'm going to do F5 just to make sure that I'm deploying the site, deploying the app to the site. So that's going to actually deploy the app to the site. It was actually already added there. So already approved the trust and everything is done. And this is pretty typical model how we do and build the patterns and practices, especially scenarios, which are showing how one capability or one functionality can be actually done. So I'm going to click run scenario, and that's going to do the required trick for this particular site against my dev site. As mentioned, in a real world, you probably wouldn't be doing this kind of an approach. You would be taking this code as part of the site provisioning engine, or let's say remote console application, and applying that whenever the site collection is created. But this is just showing the technique. So I'm running the scenario. The CSS and the logo has been applied to the host web. I'm going to go to the host web. I'm just right-clicking the host web, and we're able to see slightly different-looking dev site. What's really interesting here is that it's still actually running out-of-the-box Seattle.muster. But I've even changed the location of the share and follow and edits. We have a central aligned layout. There's some additional styling there as well. So we're able to do quite heavy branding requirements and quite heavy branding adjustments using the CSM techniques. Let's have a look on how it's actually done. So moving on to the code, just going to double check that we're in the right place. Yes, we are. So this is the button scenario click. So this is the button click or event, what will happen whenever I click that apply scenario. What we're doing is that we're getting an instance to the SharePoint host web in this particular case. We're taking an instance to the web. That's actually not even necessary. After that, we're uploading the asset to the host web. So we're not using sandbox solution. We're using CSUM to actually upload the needed CSS file to the site assets. In this case, we're uploading that to the site assets, which is hard-coded in English. If you would be having a multilingual site, that wouldn't be definitely a best practice. But as said, we want to keep these samples as simple as possible, that they concentrate on showing the key capability. And then we explain that also in the documentation in the PNP guidance. And what we're doing is that we're uploading a Contoso CSS file. And this Contoso CSS file, I'm going to quickly switch here, and I'm going to show where it's actually located. So zooming in, and there it is, and zooming there as well. So as part of my pro bono hosted application, which could be running in your on-premises as an ASP.NET application in IIS or in a Microsoft Azure or somewhere else, I've just included those files to that pro bono hosted application. It might be that you would be just as well able to put these in the, let's say, Microsoft Azure storage, some storage service, or some of whatever third-party storage, and then you're always just taking those CSS files. In this particular case, they're coming from the file system of that particular ASP.NET application, regardless where it's actually running. So I have a path to that CSS file, and then I'm using file creation information, which is the CSAM object, to actually upload files on the SharePoint side. So I'm reading that CSS file. I'm saying that whenever the name of that file will be Contoso CSS on the other side as well, whenever the upload has happened, I'm going to do just in case an overwrite, making sure that it's overridden if the file is already there. And then I'm executing the query. That's going to be making sure that the file has been uploaded then to the host one. The following step is then add a custom logo there as well. So we're using the custom logo property here as well, and we're uploading that to the host web as well. Let's move back on to applying of the scenario. So let's have a look on that. So that was upload assets to the host web. And then as simple as setting those properties, what I'm doing is that using the CSAM, I'm adding the property or setting the alternate CSS URL property, pointing to that Contoso CSS styling, which is now located in the site assets folder within that particular site. And the same applies for the site logo URL. Really simple stuff. The massive difference is that, wait, you didn't use feature framework for uploading the stuff. No, I didn't. Because now I don't have any dependencies on Element XML files or sandbox solutions or anywhere somebody retracts or deactivates a feature. This doesn't get impacted on that functionality, doesn't get impacted on that those actions. So it's kind of a free. It would be like end users tracking dropping the file in to the host web. Mm-hmm. So. Just to make sure that I'm not fooling, let's go on the site. I'm going to switch on the provider hosted application side. I'm going to click clear logo and custom CSS. I'm just going to clear that setting in the host web. Let's go to the host web and let's do an update on the site. And we're able to see that it's actually out of the box dev site. We're able to see, by the way, also the Office 365 theming on top now that it's refreshed on the site as well. Good. Moving back on the slides and the topics, what we're going to go through.
Yep. So now we're going to talk a little bit about branding with publishing sites. So there are a few different things that you want to take into consideration when you're doing branding with publishing sites. Obviously, one is the publishing features need to be enabled. But just to reinforce a little bit, we do have some recommendations for the master page. If you should choose master pages that are right for you and you're okay with the ongoing potential maintenance, then minimize your changes compared to the out-of-the-box master pages. Change only what you need in the master and combine to themes and possibly alternate CSS for easier maintenance. So the fewer changes you make to those master pages, the easier it is to diff them against the original ones when you need to figure out what has changed. You want to deploy these master pages directly using a remote API, so very much like you saw Veza showing in code just a few minutes ago, using these remote APIs to do the file uploads, just copying them into the libraries, it's going to just put it in the content database, it's just an artifact, it treats it as content at that point. You're going to have a lot less problems moving forward. Keep in mind also, design packages, those are actually sandbox solutions, so still a valid and supported way to do it, but you may find yourself in a problem at some point when we remove sandbox solutions at some point in the future. Obviously we would communicate that well in advance and you would know, but if you can move away from that now, that would actually help you out. So when we look at a slide here about controlling the master page and the page layouts from an app, it looks very similar. You're going to get very used to seeing this diagram because it's a very common pattern here. So one user navigates over to the provider-hosted application. We've got a master and some page layouts that are held as files in our provider-hosted application. We use either CSAM or REST, and we upload the master page. We upload the page layouts, and we set the site master page using the client-side object model. We set the page layouts and set allowed site templates. We'll dive into that a little bit because we've had folks tell us that they can't do that using the client-side object model. And at first blush, it definitely doesn't look like you can. And so with that, we have a demo. I'm going to go show you guys some code. So again, this is very much from patterns and practices. We've got a provisioning.publishing features project. Make my window a little bit bigger and scroll my code just a little bit. So really, I'm just going to jump straight. I'll show you what the scenario does when we F5. I'm running on a new machine, and I was having problems in my last demo. So let's see if we have the crossing same problem finger. In this demo.
Crossing fingers.
Crossing fingers and crossing my toes. So what this should be doing is deploying the page layouts, and I got the same exception. We'll debug that between the sessions. Believe me, this thing typically does work. but let's look at the actual code that we're using. So when we come up here, you can see that we're checking for a content type, because if you're deploying custom page layouts, you may want to deploy with a custom content type. So we're actually checking to see if that exists. We're creating the content type. We've got a nice little web method there for create content type. Then we're uploading the page layouts to the master page gallery. So you can see that we've got client context.web.deploy page layout.
I have to ask, Dave, that's not a typical CSAM method.
That's absolutely right. So the pattern that we've taken, a lot of the patterns and practices samples reference our core library. So you can see over here on the right that I've got a reference to the office dev pmp.core. We have a number of extension methods that we've created. So we're actually abstracting. So if I go into the definition of this deploy page layout, you can see that we've got web.deployMasterPageGallery item. So we've abstracted that just a little bit more. And if you look, we've abstracted all of this code that you need for checking if the source file path is good. All of that is abstracted away into these extension methods. And so we actually have NuGet packages for these as well now, which is a recent enhancement. And so it can save you writing a ton of code by using these patterns and practices examples. But basically, you get the general idea, which is you're going to deploy the page layouts, you're going to deploy the master page. You can see that I'm adding the content type to the pages library. I'm deploying an additional JavaScript file to the site because I'm referencing a JavaScript file from my master page.
Sure.
I'm creating a new page based on a page layout, so I'm actually creating a page here. And then I check to see if it exists to delete the old version. If it is, and then we're actually solving the layouts and creating the new page. Before we move away from this, even though the demo didn't work, I do want to show some code around the actual setting of the default page layouts. That's here. So it's scenario two.
A scenario three.
Scenario three. Yeah, there's the master click. Scenario three. So if you look, basically what we're doing is we're building up a list of the web templates that we want to apply to restrict, right? And then we've got a method here that says client context.web.setAvailableWebTemplates. Oh, but you say that's not in CSOM. You're absolutely right. It's another extension method. And if you look at what we're actually doing here, what we're doing is we're actually manipulating the property bag for the web. And so we are directly manipulating the property bag, and we're placing the right XML attributes into that property, right? And then we're setting the property bag value for the available web templates or for the inherit web templates. Now, you might say that feels a little bit like a hack. Everything that's in patterns and practices has absolutely been taken to the engineering team, and we have said, hey, this is the only way that we know how to do it, so you either give us an API or you give us confidence that that particular approach is going to work and that we won't tell people it's unsupported in the future. So rest assured, you can do this, even though we're doing property bag manipulation. So that is a very handy thing. We see that quite often in these publishing site implementations. So with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Veza to talk a little bit about the summary for the branding options.
Good. Thanks, Steve. So let's talk about the summary on the branding options. And it's more about it's the impact analysis. So if you think about this individual options, if you think about this individual options, what we showed and walked through, we have a few different ways of doing that. We have a custom master page, absolutely supported in Office 365. The flexibility is unlimited. We all know that if you're an old school SharePoint developer. With a custom master page, you can do branding and align the branding any way you want. So absolutely supported. The alternative option is to use the alternate CSS. That's what I showed in my demo. So we override some of the CSS settings. It is absolutely true, just the alternate CSS doesn't actually give you the capability of adding controls, removing controls, but it gives you the capability of, for example, hiding elements or relocating the elements using the CSS settings. So it's the flexibility is quite all right. And it's better than, from a cost impact perspective, it's less money what you need to invest in the longer run, especially related on modifying or, let's say, upgrading to the latest versions or whatever. If you think about the third option, that's then the themes. The themes, which Steve showed the demo, and we make sure that that's working properly well in the patterns and practices when you pull that down from the patterns and practices guidance. The flexibility is average because you can only control colors and fonts. You can't actually control, for example, the location of things, and the colors can be only certain colors can be controlled. Well, quite a significant amount of colors and quite a significant amount of fonts, but you can't control all of the elements within the page. So the flexibility is kind of an average. And from a cost and impact perspective, you still need to do something because you're controlling that in every single site, but it's less than custom master page. And then the final option is the Office 365 theme. So if you're running in Office 365 only, obviously Office 365 themes are only available in Office 365 site, but its flexibility is relatively limited. We can control the suit bar, some of the links, some of the other settings. But then again, the cost is then slower. You don't actually need to have any customizations. You just go to that centralized location within the admin UI, control the settings, and press apply, and poof, your site will have at least some level of branding, what is needed or what you're looking for your sites. Again, we need to think about the options. We need to think about what is the level of a branding elements, what you need to have for your customer or for your deployment. And then you choose not knowingly that it has certain impacts. That's the key point what we've been repeating. Moving on things, one of the classic, let's say, discussion points is also that updating of the branding. So updating of the existing branding on the existing sites. What we quite often say that as part of the site provisioning, you apply the theme, you apply the alternate CSS, you apply some of the other settings, well, like a custom master page if needed. But how would I then control that if you're uploading the master page directly to the database, which is definitely the scenario in Office 365? What about on-premises and what about updates of the 10,000 sites which have been already created? And the solution for this one is essentially that we use, again, the client-side object model. We need to have, we write code or we use BNB samples for this or we use community tooling to do this. We're running through the individual site collections and then we're aligning them with the latest changes like we go. And yes, if there's 10,000, 100,000, 200,000 site collections, it actually might take a while to do that. But you're able to do that one by one and without downtime. Essentially, what it means is that I'm just, as an example, it might be console application and update tooling, which is reading an XML file with an updated theme. And these are the theme files. We upload them to every single site one by one. And then we apply the theme to that site. And then we move to the following site. And we do the same thing. The key point here is that even though it takes time, all of the sites are still available all the time. There's no downtime like with the farm solution. Updating as existing sites with the farm solution, you would also have to write some code because you would be deploying a new master page. Maybe if you're just updating a master page, then you wouldn't have to write a code because you're just updating a ghost and master page in file system. But that's not really an option when we think about Office 365. We don't have a centralized master page. The master pages are always in a site collection level, at least. And then the comment definitely is that, so I would have to loop through really all of the site collections one by one and apply the settings. Yes, this is the pattern. We don't have, if you think about, for example, theme setting, if you think about alternate CSS setting within the site, you would have to apply that one by one within the site level. And you would just run the sites in a loop. That would definitely mean that not all of the sites are immediately impacted of that change, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It might be that you want to pilot that new branding, let's say, in 5 sites first, and then you apply that across 100 sites. Maybe one of the different organizations are having slightly different branding. You can do the same for, let's say, organizational site collections, a slightly different branding there, slightly different there. Absolutely doable, absolutely recommended. And some of the examples what we see done by our enterprise customers or smaller customers as well. One of the things also to consider is what do we actually deploy where? So thinking through, can I actually, for example, the PNG files, master pages, ASPX files, images, PNG files equals images as well, or the JavaScript files, where do I actually want to deploy them? The dynamic files like the master pages and page layouts, we need to deploy definitely in every single site collection. But then as an example, the static files, the PNG, the images, CSS files, JavaScript files, we can just reference those directly from a site collection level. This slightly depends, again, on the exact scenario, exact thing, what you're doing. But quite often, this is the case. Or you might actually reference those files from a provider-hosted application side or from a content delivery network. So it's all about thinking how many versions of the file I need to have, and could I actually put it in a centralized location and reference that in a centralized location so that I have only one file still, which is controlling, for example, what JavaScript will be executed whenever the site is accessed. Really, really important thing to consider as part of your designing of your tooling and the site's customizations. And that comes down on the controlling and designing, let's say, the updating framework. So definitely, from a day one, you should consider updating those existing sites. Not just about applying those settings to new sites; it's also controlling those sites which have been deployed. And that's where you want to follow up on the patterns and practices guidance. We will have a lot of additional guidance coming up on design patterns on this as well. And also community tooling, which will help on you to make, maybe pull a sample and then slightly adjust that based on your requirements, and then you're good to go for your deployment. Really, really great stuff in the patterns and practices now. Yep. Just to summarize, we started this is about the branding. There's a lot of other things what we're going to go through today, but just the recommendations. So definitely avoid custom master pages. So the recommendation is to avoid custom master pages. Hopefully we were able to show the reasoning why that is the case, because it has a long-term impact. If you can achieve the same branding requirements using theming or alternative options, use that. If you can't, custom master pages absolutely support it, and you can take that route. Use the Office 365 themes if possible. If the business requirements is that, as long as we get the high-level branding set, that's the definitely the cheapest option, because we don't have to customize it in the site level anything. Consider using alternate CSS if that's then if the Office 365 themes are not enough. And then the actual site level themes are definitely valid options as well. And it's a better option than going to the custom master page. Again, all of these options fully supported. You just need to think about which route you actually want to take. Like mentioned in the previous module, we went through 4 demos within this module. All of these demos are available from the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices open source community project, which we are helping. We are contributing all the time. There's a lot of external people helping us on this tooling as well, which are doing absolutely great job on helping others in a community to learn how to do app model techniques with the SharePoint. There's more than 100 Visual Studio projects there. We will concentrate more on guidance. MSDN will be updated pretty soon as well, based on the updated recommendations. Dev.office.com, single place for all of this information. You go there, and dev.office.com, getting started, that's where you should actually start the transition to the app model. The patterns and practices examples might be already quite overwhelming, so they're assuming that you're knowing some of the basics already. Go to the devoffice.com, start from there, you get it learned, and you'll get there gradually. We all gone through that pain of kind of learning how to do the new stuff in a slightly different way. Yep. And then as a final example, please give us feedback. That's everything what we do is based on your feedback. We don't have any infinite resources, but we want to definitely get your feedback. We address that feedback as fast as we can with the resources what we have. Use the user voice, use the Office 365 Yammer network. We have a patterns and practices group there, which is highly active on helping you on any of your questions. Right now, today, we might be, not be able to answer all of your live questions during the live session. Please go to that Yammer network and actually add those questions there. Say that Vesa and Steve mentioned something, and we will follow up on that one, definitely. It's our promise to do so.
Yep.
And that's all we're going to do within this module.
Yep.
So that was about the branding. And we're going to concentrate, I think, the following module is about the remote provisioning. So we're going to show in practice what does the remote provisioning means. We've mentioned that quite a few times already. How do I provision those themes? How do I create sites using the app model techniques without a web templates, without all of those things? But let's have a 10-minute break and move to that following module.
We'll be